So we are right now in the midst of the Season for Nonviolence. And the Season for Nonviolence is a 40-day period that takes place between the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. and the death of Gandhi. The Season for Nonviolence is a spiritual movement whose focus is on attaining peace through nonviolent means, as was demonstrated by Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi and Cesar Chavez and Nelson Mandela and the Dalai Lama, all who were men who stood for peace and equality and justice and nonviolence. And so today, we join them in standing for peace. And so I light this candle right now for peace. And so peace does not just mean an absence of violence. It does not just mean an absence of war or of conflict around us or in our lives or even within us. Because peace is not an absence of. Peace is not empty. Peace also includes within it a sense of well-being. Peace also includes a sense of serenity, a sense of ease, a sense that all is well. Do you notice if you feel peaceful, that's what you feel? Ease and a sense that all is well and serenity. So the title of my talk today is Lights, Camera, Action. And I'm talking about creating peace in this world through our actions. And so in order to create true peace, in order to create lasting peace, our actions must be in alignment with our highest values. Our actions must be in alignment with our spiritual values. That means those spiritual values of compassion and of oneness and of love, of kindness and equality. Because when our actions are in alignment with our highest values and with those spiritual values of love and kindness and oneness and equality, what happens is we automatically create a world that works for everyone. We automatically create peace around us. We automatically create peace within us because we're in alignment with our own spirit then. And I know that we all want to experience peace. We want to have peace in our own lives. We want to have peace in our places of work and in our home. And not only do we want to experience peace in our own lives, but I know that we want peace in our community. I know that we want peace in all countries and on all continents. We want peace for all people. The problem is, oftentimes, is we don't know where to start. We don't know how to start. Sometimes maybe we even think it's someone else's job to create peace in the world. It's the president's job, or the pope's job, or the diplomat's job. It's the leaders of the world leaders, or the politicians, or clergy, or maybe even the military. But we think it's somebody else's job to create peace. But the truth is, we are all responsible for creating peace in this world. Daniel J. Berrigan, who is an American priest, peace activist, and poet, said, "One is called to live nonviolently, even if the change one works for seems impossible." Even if it seems impossible that peace will ever fill this world, even if it seems impossible that peace will arrive, we must do our part to move us all in the direction of peace, to move us all toward peace. Acting from oneness and from love and from kindness and from compassion moves us all toward peace. And so I read a story that I would like to share with you. It's from the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology. It says, an experiment published in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology based on a simple idea. If compassion automatically spreads, then compassion for one person should reduce aggression towards all. We brought participants into our lab in groups of three. In actuality, though, only one of them was a true participant. The other two, Dan and Hannah, were our assistants masquerading as participants. We told everyone that they had 4 minutes to solve as many math problems, 20 math problems, as they possibly could, and they would receive 50 cents for each problem that was solved correctly. 20 minutes was much more than the typical person could do. 20 problems was much more than the typical person could do. The average number solved would be about 4. After 4 minutes, the experimenter would approach each person to see how many problems they had solved, pay the person the corresponding amount, and then ask the person to place their work in the shredder. Unbeknownst to the participants, the situation was rigged so that the experimenter ran out of money just prior to paying the last person, Dan. While the experimenter went to get more cash, Dan put his work in the shredder in full view of everyone. When the experimenter returned, Dan told him that he had solved all 20 problems and had already shredded his work to save time. With no seeming recourse, the experimenter paid Dan the full $10, even though it was obvious to everyone that he had cheated. After completing the math phase of the experiment, participants were moved into separate rooms for a, quote, taste perception test. Here, they prepared sample cups of different liquids for each other to taste. Participants were assigned to fill sample cups with a spicy liquid. It was hot sauce, labeled with every caution statement you can imagine. They were informed that whatever was in the cup would be placed in Dan's mouth for him to sample. What happened? Well, those who saw Dan cheat poured 3 times more hot sauce into the cup than those who hadn't. They were trying to punish him. So where does compassion fit in? Well, in the third situational experiment, the other, quote, participant in the room, Hannah, who worked for us, would tear up while everyone was working on the math problems. When the experimenter walked over to her, she would begin to cry softly and tell him that her brother had recently been diagnosed with a terminal illness. As she began to sniffle even more, she asked to be excused and left the room. The experiment then proceeded as before, with the remaining participants witnessing Dan cheat and being given the opportunity to punish him. What happened next, however, was nothing short of amazing. Those who felt compassion for Hannah completely refused to punish Dan. They poured no more hot sauce in response to his cheating than those who didn't witness Dan cheat. Aggression completely vanished. The more compassion participants felt for Hannah, the less pain they wished to cause Dan. It wasn't that they forgave Dan. In fact, they were still angry with him and wanted to tell him that what he had done was wrong. Yet, they refused to use violence as a method to solve the problem, even though Dan had no sign of regret. These findings suggest that the Dalai Lama is right. The compassion we feel for one inhibits our aggression towards all. The more frequently any of us feels compassion in our daily lives, the more it prevents escalation of violence as a method to deal with immoral actions of others. Of most import, it doesn't even matter toward whom we feel compassion. As we've seen, it will generalize to anyone. What matters is that we try to cultivate it daily, and in doing so, build resilient relationships and societies. Is that amazing? Feeling compassion for one changes how you see everybody. And so how do we practice compassion? You know, I think the very first thing that we do is we have compassion for ourselves. And what that means, the first thing is you fire your inner critic. You fire that inner judge, the one who puts you down all the time, the one that punishes you every time that you make a mistake. Do you know that the least effective way to change behavior is to punish someone after the fact? Like to put someone on restriction, to spank them, to put them in jail. The least effective way to create change is to punish after the fact. More effective is to be an example, to be encouraging, to be supportive, to show someone how to do something the right way. And so instead of giving ourselves a hard time, we are asked to be kind and encouraging to ourselves. We are asked to recognize and to know that we are both human and divine. And because we are human, we will never do everything perfectly. It's impossible. And because we are divine, the divine part of us is called to love ourselves and to have compassion for ourselves and to use the mistakes that we make in our lives to grow and to stretch, and to discover who we are more and more on the inside as spiritual beings. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to grow and to stretch and to discover who we are and to bring that forward, not to be perfect already. You're not here to be perfect. You're here to discover something more. And when we make those mistakes, it helps us discover something more. So part of being divine is loving ourselves and using what shows up in our lives for our growth and our unfolding. And so have compassion for yourself. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Peace is not merely a distant goal, but a means by which we arrive at that goal." When we treat ourselves in peaceful ways and when we treat other people in peaceful ways, that's how we create peace in the world. So we practice compassion and kindness and love towards ourselves and other people. And so that second piece then is to practice compassion towards other people. And I think one of the ways that we do that is by recognizing and realizing that when someone is irritating us or we're in judgment of them, that we never really know the whole story. We never really know all of what is going on in that person's life. For example, when the cashier at the store is crabby with you, perhaps her boss just yelled at her. Or perhaps her teenage son is in trouble yet again and she has to go to school now and take off work early to go talk to the counselor at school. Or maybe the person that pulled out in front of you when you were driving down the street out of the driveway was just diagnosed with a terminal illness and they're distracted and upset. Or maybe that waitress who keeps forgetting to bring you the mustard even though you've asked for it two times, maybe she's going through something. Maybe her husband didn't come home last night, and she doesn't know why, and she's distracted. There's a story that goes like this. A man and his two young boys were on a subway train. The two boys were completely out of control. They were loud, running up and down the aisles, kicking the seats in front of them, and throwing things. The other passengers were understandably upset and began giving dirty looks and grumbling about how horrible these children were and what a terrible man this father was. Their disdain got louder and louder, but the man was completely oblivious to what was going on until one of the passengers who had had all he could take was willing to confront the man. He went up and said, "What kind of father are you? Do you not see that your children are completely out of control and making this train ride a living hell for the rest of us? Settle your kids down. What is wrong with you?" The man, shocked back into reality, was completely embarrassed and apologized. I'm so sorry. I'll settle them down. I wasn't paying attention. We are heading home from the hospital where my wife just died. I didn't expect this to happen. I thought she would get better. I don't know what I'm going to do. We never know the whole story about what is going on with someone. So when you are in judgment of another person, we are invited to practice compassion. And you don't even have to know the story in order to practice compassion. And so there's an exercise that I would like you to try, and it's on the back side of your affirmation sheet. And so I'm going to say it, and then you can say it after me. Just like me, this person is seeking happiness in his or her life. Just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering in his or her life.
Just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering in his or her life.
Just like me, this person has known sadness, loneliness, and despair. Just like me, this person is seeking to fill his or her needs.
Just like me, this person is seeking to fill his or her needs.
Just like me, this person is learning about life.
Just like me, this person is learning about life.
There's an invitation to practice that, to say that to yourself every morning before you leave your house to your day. Just like me. Because you know you go through stuff where you're not at your best. You know you go through stuff when you're not perfect. We all have stuff going on in our lives. Harsh judgment and being judgmental with ourselves or others does not solve the problems of the world. It doesn't solve our problems, and it doesn't solve other people's problems. It doesn't solve the difficulties of the world. What it does is it adds to them. It adds to the pain and the suffering and the hard times and the difficulties. It leaves us feeling miserable and angry and upset when we are judgmental. Do you notice that? Do you notice how it makes you feel on the inside compared to reading that? Just like me, this person is seeking to avoid pain in their life. That opens our hearts. There's a saying that says, if criticism were curative, the whole world would be perfect. Think about it. Think about the last time that your boss or your friend or your spouse was critical and judgmental with you. Did it motivate you to be your best? Did it motivate you to bring your best forward? Or did it just drag you down a little further? It doesn't change things for the best. Criticism and judgment do not make the world more peaceful or loving. Being judgmental and critical do not bring serenity and well-being to the criticizer or the criticizee. Love and peace and kindness and compassion make the world loving and peaceful and kind and compassionate. In this book, This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes, he says, you cannot love and hate at the same time, nor can anyone else. Therefore, this man of wisdom said that light overcomes darkness. He did not say that darkness overcomes light. He goes on to say, all the poetry, wit, and knowledge and art of the ages cannot alter the fact that love alone begets love, Peace alone attracts peace. Only that which goes forth in joy can return with gladness. Love begets love. Kindness begets kindness. Compassion begets compassion and peace. And so practicing compassion reduces our desire for retaliation or aggression. That's what the story showed us, the experiment showed us. Compassion, just like yawning, is contagious. Our compassion breeds more compassion within us and with people around us. Peace-filled actions create a peace-filled world. And so my invitation to you this week is to act in ways that create greater peace in this world. Act in ways that create greater peace within you, and therefore you bring more peace into the world. Listen within to your own spiritual values. That means you have to get out of your head. It means you have to get quiet and listen in here to what is truly valuable and what is truly important. You have to take time to listen to your spirit, to listen to your soul, to listen to your highest self, the part of you that is divine. And every time you act out of love and kindness, every time you act out of your spirit, it creates a ripple effect out from you, and it creates a ripple effect inside of you. And so be the change you wish to see in the world. Be the example of peace and compassion and kindness for other people who are around you and witness your behavior. Be that presence of love, the presence of that infinite one in action. Give voice to that presence of peace. Give voice to that one that is love itself. And then you will be creating peace in this world. And then you will be living your spiritual values. And then you'll be acting as that beneficial presence that you came here to planet Earth to be. And so blessings to all of you on this path of awakening to your own spirit, to that presence of God all around you and within you, and to bringing that into this world. Thank you for creating peace. And blessings to you all. And so I invite you to join me right now in an affirmative prayer. What a blessing it is to answer this call within me to turn my attention and my focus from the problems of the world and that which isn't working and that which is distressing, to recognize that there is one infinite presence. And that infinite presence is everywhere present, in its fullness, in its wholeness, in its allness. That means all the love that God is, all the peace that Spirit is, all the wholeness, all the good, all the power, all the joy. It is all right here where we are. It is right here where we are, no matter where we go and no matter what we do, for we are walking in that presence. And not only are we walking in that presence, but that presence is expressing itself within our hearts, expressing itself as our spiritual nature, expressing itself in our thinking and through our choices and through our actions and through our kindness and our compassion and our love and our gleaning the truth of oneness. And so today, I stand in this truth that we are each of us peacemakers, that we have come here to make this world a better place than we found it. And so we are each inspired and we are each lifted. We are each carried and buoyed by that infinite one that wants nothing more than to create heaven on earth. And so we are each conduits for that presence, creating heaven on earth, creating heaven wherever we go. And so I am so grateful to have this opportunity to be of service in this world. So grateful that we each have the opportunity to bring more and more of our spirit forward, to ever become more and more of who we truly are and never less. For we are each spiritual beings growing and unfolding from within. And our lives reflect that. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is already unfolding itself all around us and within us. And so we just rest in this presence, knowing that this is our life. And so it is with gratitude that I release this prayer, and I say, and so it is.